Who is Moshe's family? That's a very important piece of information, and it would make sense that the Torah tells us this. But why now? Hashem had just commanded Moshe and Aaron to tell Paro to let the Jewish people go, so the next thing you'd expect to read is them fulfilling their mission, going to Paro. But yet it says, Ele Rashei Beis Avosam, these are the heads of the households. And it spends 12 psukim to inform us about the progeny of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, namely Moshe and Aaron's family, before returning to the regularly scheduled program of Hashem telling Moshe and Aaron to go speak to Paro and lead the Jews out. So why this seemingly misplaced interruption? Sivan Rahav Meir is a popular Israeli journalist and primetime news reporter who also lectures and writes Torah observations based on society and current events. She recently shared the following story. 3 years ago, before the previous Israeli elections, a fifth grade teacher in Israel decided to use the opportunity to speak about leadership and leaders in his class. At the end of the lesson, he asked his students to write on a piece of paper who they think are the three greatest leaders. One boy wrote the following. Number one, my father. Number two, Moshe. And number three, Bibi Netanyahu. The teacher was puzzled by the boy's first answer. He knew the father had been laid off and was currently distributing newspapers and helping in a bakery. Not exactly leadership type jobs, or at least not deserving of being on this list. He called the boy over after the bell rang and said, I think your answers are beautiful and very touching. The student, however, saw that the teacher seemed puzzled by his choices and resolutely responded, of course my father's the number one leader. I know how hard it is for him to work, doing the menial job he's doing, and nonetheless he gets up early every morning to support us. That evening, the teacher sent a picture of the note and called the boy's father to share this with him. Your son was the only one from the whole class who put down his father as one of the top three leaders, and not only that, but he put you as number one. There was silence on the other end of the phone for a minute, and then, in a choked up voice, the father said, you have no idea what this call's done for me now. Thank you. And since then, 3 years ago, the teachers kept a picture of the boy's note as a reminder. I think this powerful story can help answer our original question based on the idea of Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. You know why the Torah lists the lineage now, before Moshe is about to be sent as a leader who will begin to win and win big? Because the future generations might look back and say, oh, Moshe must have been an angel or a celestial emissary of God. Look at everything he did, the miracles he facilitated, the great leader he was. But no, that wasn't what made him a great leader in the people's eyes. What made him great was that his family knew him and Aaron as little Moishi and little Arla running around playing ball with the other kids. Okay, maybe they didn't play ball back then, but you get the idea. The same little Moishi and little Arla grew up and grew into the great Moshe Eved Hashem and Aaron HaKohen. Just like the Israeli boy from the story, who saw his father and the determination and resilience he had in order to provide for his family. That was something the teacher didn't see or understand. Moshe and Aaron's family saw the transformation and progress and where they came from and who they became. That's what made them, in the eyes of their family and the people, into the great leaders Hashem was sending to Paro to lead out the Jews from Mitzrayim. If you ask me to list the top three rabbinic leaders, I don't even know who number two and number three would be, because I work with rabbis, so I know too many great rabbis to start choosing from. But I do know that my father would definitely be number one on my list. There may be some that are greater Talmidei Chachamim, who can give a dazzling shiur and whose halachic prowess is supreme. Still others, who are master orators and can bring the house down. But I would still put him as number one. Growing up all those years, I personally saw what others in the show may not have realized or that they took for granted. The dedication, integrity, and unassuming and positive demeanor with which he approached his Avodas HaKodesh while also working a full-time job at Standard Textile as a salesman left an indelible impression on me. I remember one time when I was about 12, my father said, it's time to go to shul. I looked at the clock, I saw there was still 20 minutes until Mincha and asked, what's the big rush? My father said, some people get to shul early, and since I'm in charge of unlocking the building, I don't want them to have to wait outside. But he agreed to wait with me a few more minutes before going. Sure enough, we got to shul, and there were two people waiting outside of the shul. I think I stopped asking to go early to shul after that, and just sent him ahead and would come later on my own. But that was a lesson in punctuality and sensitivity to others. I could go on, and I'm sure each and every person that davened in the shul and is part of the community has their own story, or multiple stories, about how they were touched and inspired by the great silent rabbinic leader that my father was and continues to be. This Shabbos is the last one my father will be rabbi in Gulf Manor Synagogue in Cincinnati. After 33 years, 30 as assistant rabbi, and the past 3 as the senior rabbi. He may officially be retiring from leading the shul, but I know he'll continue to provide his leadership as an example to us all. Shabbat Shalom.